with news, commentary, controversy, and information about officiating high school sports, this is Officiating Oklahoma. Now here's your host, Jason Seichel.
Hey guys, Jason coming at you one more time, Officiating Oklahoma. Since I've been on the little kick there, or theme of rules and rule changes, I figured I'd go ahead and continue that. We're going to be talking about baseball this time. Still sticking with National Federation because that's the thing I do is high school sports. Got out of the college stuff and all that other jazz, semi-pro and all that. And mainly just stuck with high school. So, baseball. One of the new rule changes for the 2023 season is going to be Rule 1512. This rule change was approved by the committee in their June whatever meeting in Indianapolis. High school baseball players and coaches will be permitted to wear jewelry in the 23 season after the committee voted to remove its prohibition from the rules. As you guys know before, previously you can only wear medical or religious jewelry or medals or bracelets or whatever, but they had to be affixed or taped down to the skin. While most jewelry will be permitted, the Baseball Rules Committee noted that the current rules will state that any jewelry worn that poses harm or injury to a player or opponent should be removed. So they've not removed it at all. I don't know why they opened it up with this, because when you first read it, it's like, oh, they removed the rule completely. You can wear whatever jewelry you want. Because when I read that, the first thing that went through my mind is you've seen some of these major league ball players, which these kids will try to emulate, wear these big, thick necklaces. And can you imagine you have a play at the plate, a player dives in head first, and that necklace gets caught on a shin guard, a glove, or something, and actually strangles the crap out of him or cuts his neck or something because he's got on that necklace. Elliot Hopkins, Federation Director of Sports and Liaison to the Baseball Rules Committee, had said, "The game of baseball has evolved and players have demonstrated that wearing a bracelet or necklace does not impede their ability to play or increase any risk to themselves or their opponents." He's saying this, that the game has evolved and they've demonstrated that wearing those things does not increase the risk to themselves or their opponents. I wonder if he realized that wearing that stuff has been illegal for years, so of course they're not going to get hurt while playing because they can't wear it. So, I mean, was there a time frame that I missed out on where this was, tested for a little while and they allowed players to wear them and then they decided to go ahead and do it? I mean, they do this sometimes. Some states will relax a rule and allow them to test it just to see, but this article doesn't say anything about that. So as far as I know, there was no testing done on it. Either way, you can wear, I'm going to say, some jewelry now, the players can, as long as it's, not dangerous or, poses any harm or injury. So as long as it's something that's not, I would say, outside the uniform or real thick and big, because kids will try to anything they can to get an advantage, and that's what we're here for, is to maintain keep that issue from coming up, to make sure nobody gains an unfair advantage. I don't see a big deal with this. Just, if you've got one necklace on and it's inside your uniform or whatever, who cares? The bracelet thing, I could see that being a problem. Sliding, diving, tagging people that could get caught up on stuff. I would say no bracelets whatsoever, but, I'm not on these rules committees that decide to do that. The committee also added a definition for a lodged ball, which is when a ball remains on the playing field but becomes wedged, stuck, lost, or unreachable, causing it to stop abruptly or not fall or roll immediately. The ball is declared a dead ball. The definition was necessary to differentiate when a ball becomes lodged in a fielder's glove in which the ball remains in play. So they added this in here because basically if a ball gets stuck in something other than a player's glove, it's dead. Okay. Thank you for clearing up something that was never an issue. I'm glad these guys spend their time on this. Rule 6 was adjusted to only use the pivot foot to determine whether a pitcher is delivering a pitch from the windup or a set position. Previously, the position of both feet on the pitcher's plate determined either the windup or a set position, prohibiting a hybrid position where the pivot foot was in the windup position and the non-pivot foot was in the set position. It says the rules committee received a tremendous input from the coaches and umpires, allowing the hybrid, which would assist players to succeed in pitching. Anytime we can write a rule, blah, 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 to increase their participation and all. See, here's another thing is, you know, back in the day it was, you know, you're in a set position, your pivot foot would be parallel to the rubber and in front of it. In the windup position, it would be perpendicular. Both feet would be in on top of it. Now they're adding in these hybrid and all this stuff. And just to make, I guess, the kids look cool or feel cool or something, I don't know. Here's the thing. Just get on the rubber in the windup position or in the stretch. I don't know why they're concerning themselves with how they're standing and how they're looking out there. You got to throw friggin' balls and strikes. I mean, you've got to get the ball across the plate. So just stand in a normal position. I don't know why we got to follow what these pros do and all their stupid crap they do on the mound whenever they're playing, which, you know, is completely idiotic. They're trying to throw off a batter's timing and all that, and they're doing this in a way that it's almost making a mockery or a travesty of the game. It's a bunch of a load of bull crap. Just get on the rubber, get in a windup or a stretch, and throw a freaking strike. That's all we care about. I don't know why we've got to change these things, and it's all for a look. It doesn't assist a player to succeed in pitching. If somebody can show me something that will show me that, because no matter how they stand initially, they still have to get to adjusting themselves to where that foot gets parallel with the rubber, and then they lift their leg and deliver a pitch. So all the pre-pitching crap that they're doing is not going to change the delivery and all this stuff. I have no idea why we're making these changes. So that is rule change number 3 that's absolutely ridiculous and didn't need to happen. Let's see. Rule 154. This is probably the only one that I'm okay with. It's added language clarifying that eye shields attached to a catcher's mask after manufacturers are prohibited. Eye shields that are attached at the time of manufacture must be clear. So if you buy a mask and you add an eye shield onto it later, that is illegal. If you buy a mask and it has the eye shield on it already, that's fine. But the eye shield must be clear. People throw a fit about that and all this kind of stuff. If you've actually officiated a ball game and you have a kid go down and they have an eye shield on that you can't see through and you're trying to speak to them and determine if they're okay, what's going on with their eyes and that kind of stuff, you can't. This is going to involve player safety. If they're complaining that the eye shield or whatever is bothering them and that kind of stuff, then they can put on freaking sunglasses. Sunglasses will help get dirt down and all that kind of stuff. And plus, if you need to see their eyes, you can grab a hold of and remove those glasses without having to move their helmet and cause any risk to injury. So, yeah, I'm okay with this. I'm on board with it. I mean, there's not really a whole lot you can say about that. And then the other thing is, says in addition to the official signals for baseball were updated to include 8 pre-pitch situations and 8 signals during play and results. Okay, I guess that's good. It tells everybody what we're doing. I mean, they probably don't care. I haven't seen a picture of these. I haven't seen the list. They said that they've, you know, they were updated, but I don't know what was updated about it. I've seen them in the past, and there's a lot of pre-pitch signals that aren't in there that we use that, I mean, a spectator and a coach and all that stuff, it really doesn't matter if they know what we're doing anyway. You know, a lot of times if, you know, say you have a pitch come in and it's a wild pitch or a pass ball happens and a runner comes across and scores and then an additional runner was moving and all this, and once everything's said and done, you think to yourself, wait a minute, I know I called that last pitch a ball, but did I change my indicator to make sure that my count is correct? So then we've got a pre-pitch signal that we'll give to each other to make sure that we have the correct count. So that's something that wouldn't need to be in the book. I saw that there was a signal added in there to where if you pat your chest a couple times above your heart, that is given a signal to your partner that you have additional information if he would like that. I guess that can be a good thing. It keeps us from having to holler and ask him and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, either way, you still have to look at him to communicate. So, I don't know. This is another one of those years where they've made some rule changes, and the whole deal is it ain't broke, so don't fix it. So, there was, what is that, 5 different things that they've changed in the book that were not necessary. I'm really starting to believe that these changes that they make is to justify their existence. It's a waste of a lot of time, and it doesn't really change anything or have that big of effect on the game. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. Anyway, that's going to be it for these rule changes. I've got another thing I'm thinking about doing. I've got to look in, and there's a lot of people that have like these, TikToks or reels on Instagram or whatever. And there's some accounts on there called Umpire Hate, and they talk a lot of trash about game officials. And I've gotten to watch some of the videos, and it really speaks volumes to me of just how ignorant people are when it comes to the rules. They'll holler out about some of the myths, like the tie goes to the runner, which, as a game official, we all know that in baseball there's no such thing as a tie. And then other things. I watched a video here recently where the batter runner ran into the first baseman who was trying to catch a throw from the catcher. And when he ran into him, when he got through the halfway mark to first base, he was running outside the running lane. And that's when the throw was thrown near his head on the left side, and then he collided with the player trying to make a play on it. And people were in uproar how it was the worst play or worst call ever because they called the runner out and all this kind of stuff. And here's the thing is that after I'd watched it, I was like, well, this is pretty cut and dry. So I commented on it, and then I posted a snippet or whatever from the rule book that, you know, supports the umpire's decision, and people still argued about it. So I thought about maybe doing some videos where I'd talk about, you know, where people are bashing umpires when umpires are actually correct, because I don't know of another way to educate people. I've gotten to where I get tired of going to ball games and watching because I get tired of hearing people yelling at officials that are out there hustling. And you know, if they're hustling, they look the part, they're doing their job, and they're doing things correctly, and people are just yelling and screaming at them and giving them a hard time. It's like, you know, you sure are brave out here. Why don't you go out there and make a difference? Instead of being a complainer and not getting anything done, go out there and make a difference. Do something. And then, of course, you know, you've got the other ones where, you know, there's some of us, we take pride in our appearance. I know when I did baseball, I would have, I think it was like two or three pairs of plate pants. I had two or three pairs of base pants. I had at least three of every color shirt there was. I mean, when I went out onto the field, no matter what age level it was, I was dressed professionally. I was in my correct uniform. I hustled. I made sure I was in position to make a call. And you have these guys nowadays that will show up at a game with their cap on backwards, shorts, shin guards, and they're calling a junior high softball game. If they're going to take this as a joke and get paid, then they can go somewhere else. If you're going to get paid to do a job, then you are considered to be a professional because you're being paid for that service. You better look professional. But anyway, if you guys think it's a good idea to post those videos and maybe, I don't know, set the record straight and I don't know what else you want to call it, just let me know on here. You can leave messages through Anchor FM. You just send a message on there and I will actually get to hear the audio message. Or if you'd like to, you can look on our Facebook. I think we got Twitter. Anyway, everything you look at, just look up Officiating Oklahoma and it will pull it up. I don't know where else you would go to. But anyway, thanks for listening to me. I'm going to get off here. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Officiating Oklahoma, hosted by 20-year veteran sports official Jason Seichel. Please visit our website at officiatingok.com and be sure to join us soon for another episode of Officiating Oklahoma.